Shalom and Chodesh Tov to everybody. And we are on the new moon of the month of Shvat Aquarius. It's a very, very interesting month also because everybody knows about the age of Aquarius that we are right now experiencing its craziness happening just in front of our eyes, like whatever craziness you cannot even imagine, you see, and more of it is supposed to come. So what do we want to understand? What kind of, how do we understand the message of this month? What does it mean, Aquarius? And how do we understand people that were born in the month of Aquarius, in the month of Shevat? Now, few basic ideas to remember. Because a lot of people would say, we don't believe in astrology, and astrology is not part of the monotheistic belief system, which is not really true, only partially. Why? Let me go back to the original founder of the monotheism, which is Abraham the Patriarch. And Abraham the Patriarch, if we read the Jewish sources, he was an astrologer and an astronomer himself. Basically, some say he was one of the founders of astronomy and astrology the way we know it, especially that we have a book that is called the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah. And this book is related to Abraham, although Jewish tradition says that Abraham created the book, but it was passed by from father to son, all the way to the first century CE, and Rabbi Akiva wrote it down. He was the first one, although the text, it's much more ancient. So what is the philosophy? How do I relate to astrology? Especially if we remember in Parashat Vayera in Bereshit, Genesis, where we have that amazing, story of Abraham being told by God that he's going to have a son and his offsprings are going to fill the earth. And Abraham is saying, but I don't see that happening. And then it says very clearly, Vayotze oto achutza, and God took him out. And the sages are asking, what do you mean out? What does it mean, took him out? Out of what? Out of the tent. They were sitting in the tent and talking. You're kidding. Drinking tea together, there was no tea yet. So something else. And the answer is, as Rashi is bringing, like he's bringing Rashi, the biggest commentator in history of the Torah and the Talmud, he's saying very clearly, there are a few ways to explain it, but the real deep way that God took Abraham outside the system of logic and nature, and put him above that system and above the stars, and told him, if you follow my way and you connect to me, then the result will be, you will be able to change what's written on in the stars, which means the astrology is important for us to know, as the Talmud says in Tractate Shabbat, not for the purpose to know what I'm confined to, but what am I dealing with so I can transform myself. Because being a human being, the first thing about what being a human being is about, and that is different than being an animal, a human being has the ability to be aware of who she or he is, and then say, and I do not want to be there. I want to connect to what I'm supposed to be. Okay? And therefore, I'm supposed to be the person that is above those traits that I was born with, because we are here to transform. And if you don't transform, you don't really live. Okay? So, and that is manifesting very clearly, very strongly in the month of Shvat, the month of Aquarius. Now remember again, we're talking about date. What is the defining date for the month? Because if you're talking about zodiac signs, okay, they do not, the beginning of a sign do not coincide, the solar and the Hebrew do not coincide most of the times. And the understanding is that in the Hebrew calendar, it adds another layer. Why? Because really, you do not really know when does the zodiac sign start. Why? Because there's no markings in the heavens. So when the sun crosses that marking, then a new sign is starting. That's why there's a kind of very, very long dispute among astrologers around the world about the date that and the moment the sign is really starting. In Hebrew calendar, there's no problem. We decide, which means today, tonight is the new moon of Aquarius, of the month of Shevat. And we made sure that the moon knows that it is starting Aquarius because we told him so last Shabbat in the synagogue after we finished the Torah reading and Haftarah. In every Jewish congregation around the world, everybody, the whole congregation declared the new moon will be on this and this moment, which means Wednesday evening, and Thursday, which is already Thursday in Israel. This is the first day of the new moon. And the moment we made it, that is something that is very important to understand. And there's a lot of discussions about it. The moment we declared that this is the month of Aquarius, now it is the month of Aquarius. And the moment we declare and determine which month it is, we just remind ourselves that we have the final word. We have the control. And you can't just say, what can I do? I'm an Aries, I'm a Taurus, I'm an Aquarius, that's my nature. That's your nature. So you can transform it from a fixed nature into a godly, creative nature, which is, this is the real perception of the human, the purpose of a human life. Now, after I gave that the introduction, we can go about the month of Aquarius. So what do we know about the month of Aquarius? First of all, everybody speaks about the age of Aquarius, as I said, which is the age of freedom, the age of knowledge, the age of all kinds of, like, you know, love and peace and hippies and breaking all the rules and reinventing ourselves, whatever we see again and also around. And it's also the age of craziness. The world is going crazy. If you look around and you think the world is really crazy, the next day the world is even more crazy than it was yesterday. And we just live those days just right now. But why is it like this? Why breaking the boundaries? And we know that the people that belong to the month of Aquarius, they can't stand boundaries. If you just tell them everybody's doing this way, they have to do it the other way. So what happens if the age of Aquarius kicks in and everybody is being influenced by Aquarius, and today the month of Aquarius is coming in, and people rebel against everything that is coercive, that is limiting, that it has no understanding, because age of Aquarius is the age of knowledge in the Hebrew literature. And knowledge means I cannot follow your path if you don't explain why, and if there's no transparency. And if there's no transparency and you don't explain, don't even think that I'm going to follow you. So let's see where is this coming from, okay? First of all, how do we analyze a zodiac sign? First of all, we have to understand that the matrix that the universe is made of, and if you saw the movie The Matrix, you saw the programming, and you see it on the screen, those sequences of letters running from top to bottom. And that is taken basically from the book of formation of Abraham. And if I can find it in the book, I forgot to look for it. Just have the book in front of me. And then you see tables and tables and tables. And basically what the book of formation is about Abraham the patriarch as an astronomer and as basically the first person on earth in history that really realized that we all live in a computer program. So what does it mean? That either you, as being part of a computer program, you believe in astrology, which means the stars compel and dictate, you know, your destiny, or you become a hacker and you start to rewrite the program, which means you have the ability as a human being to hack into the system and to rewrite your destiny. Sorry, I can't find it right now, those tables, so maybe later. So how do I do that? First of all, I have to learn how to tap into those forces, or here part of it. This is one side, you can see that, of showing like part of the codes that this universe is made of. And if we want to go to make it easier, whoever learns real Kabbalah learns about the four basic elements of reality, of the creation, that are symbolized by the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, Yud, He, Vav, and the letter He. The Tetragrammaton is not God. It is the name of God. And if you know Kabbalah, you understand that a name is not the person. A name is the way you call the person in. You connect to the person, but it's not the person. His name is just like his phone number. It's a sequence to connect to the person's consciousness and soul. Because if you look at the word neshama, a soul, the two letters in between, inside, the two inner letters are Shem, a name. The name is connecting to the innermost part of the soul. Now, so when we're talking about God's name, of course, God, the creator himself, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's creator, the creator of monotheism is endless. And a name is a finite sound or a definition. Basically, a name is definition. Defining the creator, this is impossible. You cannot define the infinite. It's exactly the, it's about infinite, define. It's like the two opposites, it's oxymoron. You can't define the infinite. So a name is a way we attach into the creator. And that's why the creator, according to the Torah, has many names. And if we go to the book of Exodus, in Hebrew, it's called the book of names, because using these names will give you the freedom. But it's not defining God, it's connecting to God. It's connecting to the endless force of the creator. So if you go back to the major formula, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Tetragrammaton, there are basically, mathematically, only 12 permutations of the holy name of God. And the Zohar Chadash, tells us that each permutation of the 12 is basically representing one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. So what does it mean? What the Kabbalists are saying, because we live inside a matrix, inside the computer programming, everything is really programmed. Everything is really sequences of power. And those signals of power are represented by the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's very hard for somebody who's not trained with any spiritual background, but whatever we see with our physical senses, does not really exist this way. It's an illusion. How do we know? So that's beginner's book about, Kabbalah for beginners. Do we see atoms? Do we see the inner particles of the atoms? No. Do we see the radio waves crossing right now through our brain? What about other different electromagnetic waves? And what about the other kinds of radiations that are present inside us and around us and through us? We are not aware of it. So do we really know how this universe is structured? And you look at an object and it looks still. But if you know real physics, it's all motion. The moment the motion stops, there won't be any object because it's all energy in motion. And that's why Einstein taught us more than 100 years ago that E equal mc squared, which m is mass and E is energy, okay? And C is the speed of light, which means what is mass? It's concentrated energy. Do we see it this way? No, our senses are not made for it. So we live in an illusion that exists only in our brain, but everything that we see around us is bundles of energy. So that's in that part of the universe, that dimension of what we call physical reality in space, but is also another physical reality, which is called time. And time also is, again, a kind of a formula of energy, which means those formulas of energies, they change all the time around us, like a kaleidoscope of forces. They are there to enable us to transform ourselves because, my example is that if you know human beings, most human beings will do anything in their power to fixate reality that it will stay like this forever. Nobody wants to get older, very rarely. Nobody wants to, that things will change. That's why we have insurance. We hate changes. So if we are able, we all going to mummify ourselves forever. So nothing will change. You don't want to lose anyone. You don't want surprises, unexpected surprises in your life. So, and the creator created this universe for us to learn that the only way to reach him is by transforming ourselves. And that's why we are forced to change. And that's why we are thrown into a universe that is ever changing. And part of the ever changing is this huge kaleidoscope, which is this reality with all the billions and billions of galaxies and billions of billions of stars in every galaxy. All of this is changing and rotating and moving just to force us to move, because if you just let the person stand, it will stand there. But if you move the earth that he's standing on, he will start to dance in order to stay standing. And that's why the creator created this universe that is ever changing on all dimensions. So we, in order to stay fixed, we start dancing. And when you dance and you change, either you hate it and it kills you, or you learn to love it and you become part of it. And then you raise yourself to the levels that you are born to experience. So we have to bless the change. We have to welcome the change. The other option is very painful. Okay, so be careful of it. So as we said again, when we see that in the calendar that a month is changing, it means that all the energies around us are changing. By the way, the change is not just every month. It's every week, every day of the week, every hour of the day. So there are always, when you learn Kabbalah, you understand there are many, many, many cycles, like a kaleidoscope. Why? To force us move and change. And when you understand that change, instead of being shocked by it, you ride the change, you ride the wave, and you allow the wave to take you higher and farther. And that's what you study astrology. That is why you study astrology. Okay, so now, what is the letters permutations of the tetragrammaton of the month of Aquarius? So I'm reading from the book of Bnei Yisachar, a great Kabbalist who lived in Eastern Europe in the 19th century. Tzeruf Hashem HaNichbad HaMeir B'Zeh HaChodesh, the permutation, the honorable permutation that shines this month is Hey, Yud, Vav, and Hey. Hayotze Mirashei Tevot, in the Zohar Chadash, I'm sorry, in the Tikkunei Zohar, there's next to each permutation, there's also a verse in the whole Tanakh that it's either the initials or the final letters of that verse that create that permutation. And you'll find it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 33. And it says, Hamer Yemirenu Vehaya Hu, which means he will convert it and it will become, or he will convert him, or like more and translate it into normal English, to the ability to convert someone and to become someone else, which is basically an amazing logo for this month, the ability to convert, to transform, which this is the name of the game for this month. Okay, now let's see how that unfolds in front of ourselves. You will see also that the letters combinations are, as I said, Hey, Yud, Vav, and Hey, and it starts with an Hey. The Hey is a female letter. The Yud and the Vav are male letter. I mean, we are not talking about the gender. We're talking about light and vessel. We're talking about giving and receiving. It's nothing to do with the gender, okay? Now, what does that mean? If you have the Hey in the beginning, Hey in the end, and the Yud and Vav in the middle together, it shows about a very powerful female energy, but a very strong male energy that is springing from the middle of it. And let's see what does it mean. First of all, how do we, another layer of defining a zodiac sign? We have four seasons in the year. Four seasons, why? Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey, or it's the four elements of fire, water, air, and earth. Okay, so the spring is fire, the summer is water, the fall is air, and the winter is earth. We are in the winter, and Aquarius is the middle month of the winter. So what does that mean? It means earth, winter, equal, okay? And that means that the three signs of the winter, which are Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, which are Gdi, Dli, Dagim in Hebrew, or Tevet, Shvat, Adar, they are underlying this, under really deep inside, which is not being taught and spoken about, as far as I know, in Western astrology, but in Kabbalistic astrology, it's very powerful. Those three signs, in the core, they are earth. And what does mean earth? Earth means strong ambition, strong desire, and very strong need. Okay, that those three are really different from each other, but what's really is common among three of them, like earth, they are thirsty. This thirst can manifest itself by Capricorn, by the need to secure oneself with physical power and ambition to make business and to make money and to create that physical power or acquire knowledge that will give you some kind of feeling of safety, like being a lawyer, so you know the rules, like being an accountant, knowing the rules, doing business from a place of accumulating material power and material safety. Aquarians, they will do it differently, but they're also very ambitious, very hungry. That hunger can be manifest also like being people of the world and the need and the thirst to know a lot of people to attain a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom, okay, a lot of wisdom, and also freedom. So the thirst and the hunger is very, so you see the first two and also the third, which is Pisces, there also you can find with Pisces a very strong hunger and thirst for warmth, for love, for security. All three are very, very hungry and could be really ambitious. Okay, really ambitious because it's Earth, under all the layers, it's Earth. And Earth is I want, I need. And remember, this is the last season of the astrological year. The biblical year starts also in Aries. Okay, if we know the biblical year. So it's the last, and what does it mean? Less energy and more need, ambition, hunger, and that will manifest in the way they behave. Now, if we talk about it, now we have 3 months. So what makes the difference between the 3 months? The first thing is like everything in Kabbalah, it's everything in the universe is structured over the pattern of plus, minus, and neutral. Like every atom has the plus, the protons, the minus, the electrons, and the neutral, which is the neutrons. Same thing, you have it in many other places. Electricity, and or in Kabbalah, it's called right, left, and center columns. So every triplet of a season, they have the division of right, left, and center. So what is Aquarius? It is the left. What does it mean, the left? Fire. Left column means fire, means also the desire to receive. So we have an earth sign when we're talking about the signs of the winter. Left column of the earth signs, which means left column of it, it's even more ambition, more desire, and I'm warning over here. The moment you have something like this, if you learn Kabbalah, it means there is a very big potential for people of that sign to be extremely selfish and self-centered. This is one of their major tikkun. Why? You look at the formula. We're talking about this is the hey malchut of the seasons. And this is the left column of Malchut. Whoever knows Kabbalah, left column of Malchut, that means a lot of judgment. A lot of judgment means huge desire to receive. And if it's not being dealt properly and spiritually, in a true spiritual way, that I'll explain it on, what does it mean? That means extremely selfish people and self-centered. Like a closed-circuit TV, they don't see anything but their own interests. By the way, if we're just talking about the age of Aquarius, there's never been an age in the history of humanity that people were so into themselves, so selfish, so not social, so not cooperative. Why? Till not long ago, human beings lived in big families, which means you were born in the same room that your whole family was born and lived in. And that room was also the bathroom. It was a washing place. When you wash yourself, was in that room. It was also the kitchen and so on. So you lived with a lot of people. You had to cooperate with them in order to survive. Like, you know, if a child is born in a family of 10 kids, he has more abilities of communication with other people. Why? Because he has no other choice. While if it's a single child, they have a very big chance to be totally spoiled and busy with themselves, because that's how they grew up. They never had to share the bed and their clothes and the bathroom and whatever with others. Okay? That's why in English you call it to be spoiled. We are part of an age that has never been that spoiled, because people today have never been in history a situation in which so many people lived lonely in their apartment, or just one couple, or a couple with one kid and maybe a cat, or two, or a dog, three dogs. Okay, but you're still by yourself. And that means that you have no idea that you're not communicating, because you're not really part of a community. Okay, but everybody says, but people of the sign of Aquarius, they're people, they love people. They love people, they are communicating, they're amazing communicators. Yes, outside of the home. They go out, they communicate, they're very interested, they're more interesting, but they won't bring you home because they need their privacy. Don't get too close to them, like most people today, especially today with the corona. It's like people are more lonely than ever. And we know loneliness is one of the biggest diseases of modern times. So where is this coming from? Oh, we know also that according to Kabbalah and also a regular astrology, Aquarius is an air sign. But remember, deep inside it's an earth with a touch of fire. That's left column, and that's ambition, and that's creativity. And there is an air on the top of it, you know, the crust on the top, the icing on the cake, that's the air. What is air? Is being intellectual, being very fast thinker, okay? And what does it mean? Big, big danger. On one hand, you're so ambitious. On the other hand, you're so bright and fast thinker, you are in a big danger of thinking that you're smarter than anybody else. And you're not listening to anyone because you know better. And you have always an agenda, which is very selfish and very into your own interest. This is the danger and the biggest tikkun of people of the sign of Aquarius. However, let's say something positive, okay? We know that Aquarius is something bigger than that. We have to understand it's more than that, your personality of the human being, because right now it's a new month of Aquarius. What's the message to the people that are not Aquarius? Oh, we all starting to go into the wave of Aquarius, which means we can ride, we should ride the wave, by connecting to the ideas, and especially either the positive or the negative. That's our free will. That's our choice. Okay, so what are the options? Now we can go into a deeper level. Okay, not before I'll read from the Bnei Yisachar something that is very, very powerful and very meaningful in order to understand. Because it says that wherever there is a plague, the Creator sends also the remedy. So what's the remedy within the age of Aquarius, or people who are Aquarians? As we said, the danger is loneliness. Why? Because you don't want to get along with anybody else. So you see right now so many people not getting married. Why? Why do I need to take care of somebody else? It will disturb my taking care of myself. And if I'm going to get married, what is the definition of love? I did a big research for the last few decades already. When people are in love, or in English, they say they fall in love. Did you ever think about it? That people fall in love? So again, what does it mean? Why does it say to fall in love? Because according to my research, people, which is amazing, people really think that being in love means someone will come and give me everything that I dream of. And they don't really think about what am I supposed to give. They're just so excited about love. They think is someone will come and fulfill my wishes. And they don't really think about someone will come and I'm ready to give all of my life and share it with that person, which means I'm willing to devote myself to grow together with somebody else who's not me. And I'm willing also to listen to somebody who's not myself. And I'm willing to change being together with that somebody, and I'm willing to change together. Okay, no. What do people say in like PC language? If you love me, accept me the way I am. Don't try even to mention there's something wrong with me, because that will make me really upset. And don't upset me. So A, don't try to change me, okay? Which is horrible. What's the worst thing somebody can tell you who thinks they love you? I wish that you always stay the same. Why? You want me to die right now? You don't want me to grow, to change, to transform? That's scary. So people are really not aware to their own language because they don't have the basic of spiritual language. Okay, so what does it mean? So that's why it's called to fall in love. Because if that's your expectation, is to find somebody that will give you everything you want without asking anything in return, without you need to change for that person, it's like, you know, I say like two Israelis meet in a bar and they talk to each other and then realize they have a very common vision of building a high-tech company. And each one goes and they say, well, let's be partners. And each one of them is sure that the other one is bringing the money. What happens when you realize that the other one thinks that you bring the money and none of you have the money? You start to hate them. You're very upset about them. Why? Because you already were elated. You've been elated with the idea, somebody will bring the money to make my dreams come true. And then you blame them because they didn't do that. That's what happens when people really, when they think they know what love is. Terrible, because this is a disease. It's a wrong perception of love. That's why most people are disenchanted with love. Why? They tried a few times and nobody was willing to give them everything without asking it for anything. That doesn't happen. Okay? So let's continue what it says by the Bnei Sakhar. It says like this. Amru ha-tokhneim ha-rishonim. Early Jewish astrologers, and he speaks about many of them. Most of them lived about 1,000 years ago, 800 years ago, in different continents, Africa, North Africa, Asia, or Middle East, or Central Asia, or Europe. But they said, "Ki mazal dli hu mazal Israel." The sign of Aquarius, or in Hebrew, dli. Dli means in Hebrew, the bucket. You know, the sign, the symbol of the sign of Aquarius is a man carrying the bucket. In Hebrew, there's a game of words, we'll see, that one talks about the man and one's talking about the bucket, which there's no contradiction. Why Mazal Dli, why the sign of Aquarius is a sign of the nation of Israel? Hagam de Kaimalan, although it says in the Talmud, Ein Mazal Yisrael. It says in the Talmud, Tractate Shabbat, that the nation of Israel, since Abraham was taking above the zodiac, the zodiac signs are not controlling, not ruling the nation of Israel. And you're not supposed to be. And you're not supposed to be affected by that. Okay. So, Hainu, and he explains, Hainu shi Yisrael al yedei maseihem b'Torah, says in one condition. When a person is connected to the Torah and the mitzvot, as it says, Etz chayim ilamachzikim ba, the Torah is a tree of life for the ones who are holding on to it. So if you really connect to their spiritual realm by using the tools of the Torah is not a religion. The Torah is a tool to connect to the spiritual dimension. When you use the Torah for that purpose, that says, say all those sages, then you can transform whatever the zodiac sign is influencing you to whatever you want. And that explains why the code verse for the letters combination, the permutation of this month, is Hamir Yemirenu Vayahu, the ability to transform anything into something, whatever you want. Okay? And that's why I said to whatever they want. Aval al kol panim betolada yesh lehem mazal. However, by birth, everyone, even Jews or the nation of Israel, was born under a certain zodiac influence. For sure, he says. However, you can escape it. You can escape it by connecting to the Torah. Not just because, oh, I don't care about astrology and I don't care about psychology and I don't care about anything. Whatever they say about me, that's going, I don't believe it. What do I mean you don't believe it? People are very, very, what can we say, unsurprising. Very, very easily can be predictable. Why? Because people most of the time don't change. How can you change? When you connect to the Torah and the tools the Torah provides you. V'nei yesh lomar, so you have to say, delevavu ze dli umazelo shel Yisrael, and therefore, the Aquarius is the sign of the nation of Israel. Why? Kidli asui lishob bo mayim. What is a bucket? A bucket is a tool to draw water. And the Torah is being compared to water, which means when you study, when you do the mitzvot, when you really connect to the spiritual realm, to the tools the Torah gives you, how do you know you really did it? You will be, your thirst will be quenched. You'll feel fulfilled. Like being very thirsty and then you drank very well and you feel, I got it. That on the spiritual level. The fact that in our generation, people are really, really, really thirsty. And that's why they try to fulfill themselves with acquiring experiences, extreme tourism, extreme, whatever extreme, and business and materialism and stuff like this. And that is never being quenched, that thirst. Why? Because the real thirst is a thirst for this, for connection to the spiritual realm. And this is our generation. So you see people really thirsty and whatever they do, and they're running like crazy to achieve that fulfillment, and they do not achieve. Because if you're looking for something where it doesn't exist, what are the chances that you're going to find it? Slim to none. Okay? And that's very important to understand. And that's why it says, and he quotes Isaiah 55, verse 1, Hoy kol tzamei lechu lamayim. Everyone who's thirsty, go for the water. What's knowing that? And he says, this is the water of the Torah. You really want to fulfill yourself and quench the thirst. Learning the Torah in a spiritual level is, again, tools. And that's why the word in Hebrew for the bucket, dli, it comes from the verb lidlot, to draw, to pull. Lidlot what? To pull, and again, that's very important. The sign of Aquarius, it's like an open gate in the universe to draw spiritual contents. It's easier if you just moderate your brain and your heart, that is what you are thirsty for, and not physical experiences that only charge a lot of irritation, as I say, and excitement on the five senses of the body. And therefore, the sign of Aquarius is the sun, the sign of the servant of the Torah, the person that is holding the bucket in order to draw and to quench his thirst and everybody else's thirst. And if you don't understand that this is what the age of Aquarius is about, or this is what the month of Aquarius is about, you are simply hanging out in the wrong place, and you're just like, what am I missing? What am I missing? And that's what happens to most people. What am I missing? What's going on? And I'm missing it. And we understand that from Abram, okay, that he had a servant, and we know that Abram was the first one that was raised above the zodiac signs, as we just explained before, and that was in Genesis 15, verse 2. And it says that his servant, Eliezer, he was dole umashke, he was drawing and giving water, quenching, from what? From the wisdom of his teacher, Abram, to others. And that is the solution to understand, to figure out what is the way to manifest Age of Aquarius properly. The Age of Aquarius and the signs of Aquarius, they have one purpose, which is to bring spiritual wisdom as a practical tool and to share it with others. Only when you reach that wisdom, that vision, or that calling, you can really understand and feel that you are in the right place and you're not really lost. And let me explain, and that's also called the Messianic Age. Let me explain. Well, let's take another quote. You know, we have the four elements, as we said, fire, water, air, and earth. But those four elements have many ways of coding. Another way that is very, very famous, whoever studies Kabbalah, this is the chariot of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, there's a chariot of Ezekiel, and the chariot of Ezekiel has four faces. You have a lion to the right, you have an ox to the left, a lion to the right, that's water. An ox to the left, that's fire. You have an eagle to the center, that's air, and you have man to the other side and to the fourth direction, and that is earth, yud kei vav kei. Okay, so look at it. So what is the sign of the month of, what is the middle sign of the first season, the spring? Ox, that's fire, okay, and that's a left. An ox, okay, that's a left in the chariot of Ezekiel. And we know that the whole spring is fire, okay? Then we have the summer. The summer is water. And what symbolizes the water? That's a lion. And what's the middle sign of the summer? Leo, the lion. Wow. Now we come to the fall, and the fall, autumn, is air, okay? Under the rulership of air. That's why if you notice, each season starts with its on a like the spring is starting with Aries, which is a fire sign. The summer is starting with Cancer, which is a water sign. The fall is starting with Libra, which is an air sign. Okay, and what's the middle month? Scorpio. We didn't have Scorpio. But we know when Scorpio elevates over the depths of negative emotions and poisonous emotions, it can rise to the heavens and become an eagle. So you have now the eagle, central column, air. So what's next? That's a man, okay, which is Malchut, which is earth. And what is the sign of the middle month of the winter? That's a man carrying a bucket. And what is this man? It's called Ish. And Ish, said the Kabbalist, the prophecies of the Messianic age is about Darach Korah Kochav Miyakov, and a star was shining from Jacob, Vekam Shevet Mi'Israel, and a scepter aroused from Israel. But the scepter is Shevet, same letters as Shvat, the Hebrew name of the month. Okay, and Shvat is also the same letters, the same numerical value of Ish, the man. Izalmaim midolyav. There will be water running from these buckets. Dli, the sign of Aquarius. So it's the prophecy from the prophecies of Balaam about the Messianic age. Here's the man, here are the buckets, and here we have the whole thing that the age of Aquarius is basically another word for the Messianic age. And what is about the Messianic age that we have to know and understand that is very crucial? It is about wisdom, and it is about spiritual wisdom, and it's about another thing. It's about breaking all the boundaries of wisdom. So we know the Messianic age, the age of Aquarius, according to Kabbalah, has many stages. The first main stage started 800 years ago. And this is exactly when the Zohar, the Book of Splendor, the major book of Kabbalah, has been revealed after it was hidden for 1200 years. It was not allowed even to be spoken about. 800 years ago, the Zohar has been revealed. Then 250 years later was the discovery of America. But it was not just this, it's a birth of a consciousness that the world is round and unlimited. And people started to know countries and continents and move around. Print is being invented. It's another stage of the age of Aquarius. And whatever did not fit with that age of wisdom and freedom had to fall apart. All kinds of establishments of the dark ages fell apart, like the control of the church, like a lot of stuff like this fell apart, and people started to learn and to read. The next stage was exactly 250 years later, the Industrial Revolution, that created school system for most people, that created mass production of books and accessibility to all of that. And then democracies that allowed people to read just by birthright. Before that, they were not allowed to read. Only the elite was allowed to read. And that had to be fall apart also. And there were many revolutions and bloody revolutions. Why bloody? Because the age of Aquarius in Hebrew, Dli. Dli, numerical value is 44. 44 is dam, blood. And we know, if you think about it, the last centuries were the bloodiest centuries in the history of humanity, especially the last 100 years. If we count from today, 100 years ago, the most bloody, so many people were killed, and also by the name of what? Freedom. Ah, this is the problem of the corruption of the age of Aquarius and Aquarians. You talk in the name of freedom, and you really busy with your own self, and the result will be, how would you say, for the name of greatness and freedom, you become so non-sensitive to other people's lives. That's so Aquarian. So Aquarian. You want to be so special and so creative and you are so insensitive to other people's feelings and needs and desires. This is so unbiblical, so not according to the Torah. Okay, because you cannot murder millions for the better of humanity. Why? It said on Mount Sinai, do not kill, period. Period. Yeah, but we're going to kill all of these people and then we have an amazing society after we kill the bad guys. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. But communism killed so many people and Nazism killed so many people. Just in the name of freedom, in the name of ideology of making everything better and changing the rules. It will never work. Never, never. And then the next stage, 250 years after the Industrial Revolution, 1990, the falling of the Iron Curtain. Why? The Iron Curtain, the Soviet Union and whatever was around it was against spreading of wisdom. It was all about secrecy. And because they stopped it, they had to fall apart. So right now we'll see, for every revolution, there's a counter-revolution. And we'll see around so many forces trying to stop the freedom to have access of every human being into all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the truth for one purpose, for a person to be able to take responsibility that if you want your life to be better, it's all within yourself. And what can draw? You need to create vacuum. You need to have ambition. You need to have the thirst and the desire. And that's what Aquarius is about. So messianic age, Aquarius, that's a man carrying the bucket. That's a man is a symbol that a man is in the middle. But what is that man? Love others as you love yourself, which means you really need, as Rabbi Ashlag, the founder of the Kabbalistic movement, said, you really need to get out of yourself in order to meet the Creator. How do you get out of yourself? By really authentically caring for someone who is not you. This is the ticket for redemption. For Aquarians, their tikkun is to stop and listen and feel someone who is not them. But you know, what can I get from them? They're not as smart as I am. They're not as connected as I am. They're not as yes, but they are your ticket to the godliness and to real transformation. The real fulfilling and quenching your thirst. That is the answer. By really caring for someone just because he's human, and being human means he's part of you. If you don't feel that person is part of you, you're not connected to godliness, and don't blame anyone for your thirst and for your distress and for your, as we know, another plague is the disaster of depression. Why depression? That's the thirst. Whatever you do is not fulfilling you. So you make money, it's not fulfilling. You live in a beautiful house, it's not fulfilling. You're doing this, you went to all kinds of exotic locations and you spend your time in a vacation, you had a trek in the Alps or in the Himalayas. It's not going to fulfill you. Real spirituality means first and for all, sensitivity and for others. This is the key, the only key, sensitivity for others. Really feeling the other person. Yes, they are wrong. Everybody's wrong. Nobody arrived to the truth and is alive. No, but they are there to help me getting out of myself. This is the tool. So, this is the major consciousness of this sign. And because of that, you see the airness. Okay, and that's the speed of trying to know places, to know wisdom, to connect to wisdom. It's all about that, but you have to be, to see what's going on. You have today people that carry so much knowledge. They're professors, they start, and they know nothing about life. This is the dangerous. If the wisdom that you are acquiring is not transforming you to become a more loving person, more sensitive person, you're not transforming yourself. And when you feel the depression and the thirst and the feeling that, what am I doing? The more I work, the I'm more hungry. What's missing? Loving others, caring for others, and especially for the people in your community, your immediate family, your immediate community. And not, you know, I love the whole world, but I can't stand my neighbor. That's so Aquarius. Yes, so your work is to learn how to understand your neighbor, to see them. Your neighbor could be your parents, could be whoever lives around, and people, you know, at the age of Aquarius, you live far away from your parents just to get away from people who judge you. No, we want to be around people that hold us accountable, that care for us. And because they love us, they want us to change because they don't want us to be miserable. This commitment for Aquarius who's not really spiritual is like a jail. But an Aquarius that is wise, you use the tools of the Torah, which in one sentence again, it is love others as you love yourself. When you do that, you can really draw endless amounts of wisdom in one condition, that you do it in order to share with others. Thank you so much. Have an amazing month, an amazing era. The age of Aquarius is moving on faster than ever.